like local bishops have put too much stock in their presiding high priest over their presiding over the Aaronic priesthood. I worry that the brethren may have become too wrapped up in administrative functions, and it's like, I don't think that was your role. I think that's definitely the role for the Aaronic priesthood. He said, and I also think that the way it's been done, where it's split up into where we've made the Aaronic priesthood for young men, I think that may not be appropriate, honestly. Not completely inappropriate, but it's not inappropriate for these roles and these responsibilities to be given to men when they need to carry out administrative functions rather than, by and large, ecclesiastical ones. The fact that we have mixed them has watered down the ecclesiastical, I think. And I think that that's that needs to be dealt with more stridently than it has been. I said, your stake president spends far too much time administering. If the stake is essentially administrative function, then the reporting chain is incorrect. Administrative function should go to the presiding bishop. The brethren should be freed to do their actual calling, which is to proclaim Christ throughout the world, yes? That's what they're supposed to be doing. I said, if you spend any amount of time on other matters, I said, this is not a corporation. The more we look like a corporation, the more problematic it is. That's right. I said, the Lord has already set up a system so that this can be done. Corporation of the presiding bishop. And you go, hand it over. Let the presiding bishop handle things. Handle all this stuff. Take care of water lines in meeting houses. This should not be something that, you know, other people should be concerned with. It says we've so muddied up the responsibility of the bishop that he feels like the CEO of the ward. And you go, the high priest and the elders, quorum presidents, or group leaders, or however they want to do it, that's totally a Melchizedek priesthood decision as to how that will be ordered. I said, they should be about teaching the gospel. They should be about bringing souls to Christ. They should be doing that. The bishop should be the administrative person that's in charge of administering lesser things. And they are lesser. They should not be concerning to you. This is trying to mix up the administrative with the ecclesiastical. One suffers for the other, and they are both made less for it. And you go, whoever is appointed in some kind of role like the bishop should be the guy that takes care of the building, should be the guy that takes care of the poor, should be the guy that takes care of this and this and this and this and this. You know, making sure that the lights are okay, making sure the heat works. Ward councils should not have to spend a lot of time on building concerns. We should not be part of this.
I think the bishop should be the one that takes care of the poor.
No. This is not an Melchizedek priesthood function. Okay, you're confused. There's one guy that actually holds kind of two roles. We need to split them apart. The scriptures, when they describe the bishop, yes, you're talking about the scriptural description of a bishop, yes, which is an Aaronic priesthood function,
uh-huh,
and it's primarily administrative.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See, the problem is we keep mixing this stuff. And all those Corman high priest groups spend the majority of their time getting anal, well, sometimes, we hope they did, but they don't, about home teaching. Don't mean to be rude, this is not a Melchizedek priesthood function. It is Aaronic. Through and through, it was done this way for convenience, and it was taken on by the Melchizedek priesthood, and it's inappropriate. Those visits should be made by people functioning with under Aaronic priesthood keys. It is not the central preoccupation of the Melchizedek priesthood. The fact that it's being done that way means a couple of things. Number one, I don't mean to be rude, we have lost our way a little bit. The primary Melchizedek priesthood function is in the home. It is to be a patriarch. That is the primary function, period. We lose that. It's not emphasized. What's emphasized? You go to your core meetings. They talk to you about being a good father. They talk to you about being a good husband. They talk to you about being this and being that a little. And what are they doing? Squeezing you about home teaching. And you go, there should be some brethren who are called to Aaronic priesthood functions. Does we have to treat this more like it's treated in the Book of Mormon, where you end up having Melchizedek priesthood holders taking care of Aaronic priesthood roles? It is not the main function of the Melchizedek priesthood to do home teaching. It is not. In fact,
you see, that's what I think, and that's all.
You can, yeah, that's fine.
We don't have enough elders.
The high priest quorum is supposed to govern the church. They preside. If there's a high priest in a room, he presides, period. I don't care if I'm the elders quorum president. Doesn't matter. One high priest trumps a room full of elders, including the elders quorum president. Now, he can't dictate to me how I'm going to do my calling, except to instruct me on what my responsibilities are. You know? The high priest quorum is a weird kind of doodad. Regardless,
Yeah, and you're going home. In fact, it actually talks about that, the fact that home teaching is a responsibility of the bishop. And for practically now, it doesn't say it in these kind of terms. And for convenience sake, it's divvied up and the two Melchizedek priesthood groups, you know, lead this. And you go, no, the primary says, I also think, and I know I'm going to get swatted for saying stuff like this, I said, in the very old days, well, actually, that's not true. In the very old days, teachers and priests used to get sent on missions. And then all of a sudden, they started to make kind of a tradition. The first tradition was everybody who was called on a mission was ordained a 70 to go and do that, because 70s have a specific duty to be assigned someplace and to do missionary work under the direction of the 12. Then they came back and they said, well, this is silly. We've got a whole world full of freaking 70s. What the heck does this mean? Seventy is kind of a interesting thing. It's something that can be given and taken away, although it is a priesthood. And you may get to retain it. I mean, Mickey continues to be a 70, even though he doesn't function in that way, and that's fine. Oh. You know, I don't know if we're doing it exactly right yet. I think we're getting closer. I do. But it is. It is a mix of, hey, this sounds like a good idea, along with, can we find some justification for it in Scripture? And you go, yeah, I think so. The regional representatives, for instance. I can help you with it. You got it, yeah. Anyway, the regional representatives were justified by the fact that you could give a high priest all kinds of responsibilities. Many of the counselors to the first presidency were not apostles, they were high priests. You know, and there was no problem with that, scripturally. Regardless, you know, I think it comes back to the basic problem of, when we talk about that word family thing, you get that weird twist in your stomach, kind of says, this is kind of wrong. You know, you can see value in it. It isn't that it has no value, or that it's evil or wrong. It's just, we're not quite to where the Lord wants it to be. And that's what happened. They said, how does it feel? We smell the air. It feels Protestant. You know, we're just trying to fit in with our environment. And you go, but that's a culturalism. It says, and, ooh, the word that I loathe the most, it has become a tradition. And everybody has as much allegiance to that as they do to the scriptures and to the Lord. Some people put that above it. And we have often justified it by saying, oh, but this can help people. This is a crutch for them as they try to get the kind of faith that we need them to have. We have to be very careful. There's so many new converts. And he goes, true. I'm not going to sit here and dispute.
except to say that, but we also have the analogous problem. People are more converted to the structure. Whenever anybody comes and gets up and bears their testimony in whatever setting and says the church is perfect, I cringe. I said, it was never, where are you getting that? Where is your scriptural basis for that kind of insertion? The gospel is perfect and it does not change. This is how we do things. This is don't. This is you're not going to sit there. Certainly not going to tell me, and better not lecture me about how I'm supposed to feel about this. And you go, no, I follow Jesus Christ. I follow the Jesus Christ as well that was revealed to us through Joseph Smith. It says, look at what Joseph Smith did, and look what everybody who followed him did. Joseph Smith did this. Everybody else did this. He said, I'm not discounting what's in this. There's quite a bit of good stuff in there. Inspired? Absolutely. Yeah. They said, but the Lord's trying to get us somewhere. And you go, I don't know exactly where that is. I'll be honest. However, I am not going to sit pat and say, well, this is the way it's been for quite a while. I don't want to screw with it. And you go, oh, no. I'm finding out this last shot. I'm a gunslinger. I'm totally ready to just throw everything away and rebuild. Especially if I see confusing things and I say, I think this is closer. I do understand also that you can't change everything on people. I see the usefulness of being gradual. You know? Making a change here, making a change there. Not doing a lot of wholesale things. This is, but, yeah, I said the problem is too many people are converted to a bishop. I said, and let me tell you, sadly, usually a previous bishop. You go, that's why bishops should not be ecclesiastical leaders. To a certain extent. I mean, sure, we can preach of Christ, we can prophesy of Christ, we can do all those things. But that's not our primary function. Go to the Melchizedek priesthood. If you want to know the mind of the Lord, don't go ask Aaron. He's got other responsibilities. He's taking care of other matters. So as you go, and you ask Moses what the word of the Lord is. And you go, congregation? That's not even scriptural. This is not trying to be rude. Not trying to do all that stuff. We've got a lot of meeting houses. This is, in my mind, churches are starting to fade out, especially in places influenced by current Western thought. And you go, we need to divest ourselves of these meeting houses while we still can.
How do we get everybody to staff?
Huh?
How do we make sure that everybody's listening?
Exactly.
You don't have to construct a building to do it. Too many people consider a local meeting house and give it the same reference that they give to a temple.
But there's too many people.
So? You can congregate in other halls, even rent it. It's not a problem. You know how much money the church spends on this that could be spent in other ways? Now, I'm not saying that that's the way forward. I'm saying that's a thought. Because we have many people who, in their Protestant tradition, equate their local meeting house, I mean, they call their chapel, the chapel portion, a sanctuary. Jews call their bigger synagogue, they call them temples. And you're going, why on earth are you painting this picture? That is inappropriate beyond all reason. There is nothing above the door of a meeting house that says, holiness to the Lord, the house of the Lord. And it graced me to no end when people started scribing these kinds of things to your local meeting house. I just don't even want to, I don't even like to bring it up because it does. It really offends people. I said, this comes from the tradition you came from your local shrine. And you're starting to get weird about your local shrine. I said, and so what do? We do what the Lord told the Jews to do. We tear out that grove. We break down that false altar. And get your butt in gear and get yourself to the proper places. They may be distant. You go, that's where your folks are. I'm, you know, very heartened by the brethren and how much they talk about the temple these days. Thank goodness. They didn't used to. You know? I can't say that. They did talk about it, but they didn't talk about it as stridently. Or I didn't hear it as well or something. And you go, yeah. He said, I'm sorry. The Melchizedek priesthood function is patriarch in a family. That's why I say, every single home, it's our responsibility, it's our duty as an elders' quorum presidency. Every single home where the gospel is trying to be taught needs to be headed by a Melchizedek priesthood holder. They go, and that's our biggest responsibility. After that, it is to try to instruct the brethren on other things. I said, the fact that the brethren can't come to quorum meetings because they coincide with young men's or with primary, I said, I'm sorry. I appreciate the consolidation of the schedule, but it means that I can't properly instruct my brethren because 3/4 of them aren't there. And you go, to a certain extent, I've gone the other way to say, no, just don't be here. We'll find another way to instruct you. And I'm working on that. With my happy little nerd contingency trying to quote policy to me that I can't behave this way. And I'm like, excuse me? Who died and made you the elders' quorum president? Let's see you try to do that. Oh, Lisa, why do you care? It's not important who's doing it. What's important is that we have to stay focused. I don't mean to be rude. I'm not here censoring people. I'm simply here saying you got to be more careful about this. You got to be more pointed about what you're supposed to be about.
Okay,
I apologize. I don't mean to make you angry. I love you. Thank you so much. See ya.